New identity and the grandeur of its members afforded the Masons with respect and dignity. The first royal member of the Freemasons was Frederick, Prince of Wales. The latest members include Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, and consort to the current Queen of England, Elizabeth II, who herself is a grand patron to the Masons. However, behind closed doors, the Freemasons were free to indulge in the secret rites and rituals handed down to them by their ancestors, and these became the basis of their levels of membership, called degrees. The Freemasons were not content with power in Britain alone. Their ambitions were far greater. In the years to come, the world would witness Europe and America being plagued by wars and revolutions, each more devastating than the other. However, these would not be as commonly believed, the spontaneous effects of a downtrodden people, but in fact schemes created by the exclusive few driven by hunger for absolute power. All this would take place from the very country from which they had fled centuries earlier, and would come to the base for their global domination. In 18th century France, the majority of the population was very poor, whilst the aristocracy and royalty lived a life of luxury and extravagance. There existed a wide gulf between the two classes. The Freemasons would use this to make the pledge for power, resulting in the biggest upheaval in French history. The Masons took advantage of the growing atmosphere of anger amongst the French and used it to achieve their own aims with a carefully planned propaganda war. They completely controlled the media system and used it to sway the tide of public opinion. The newspapers were geared into calling for the end of the monarchy and the establishment of a society based on liberty, equality, and fraternity. The Masons' vast amounts of wealth were used to influence the political landscape of France. Politicians funded by the Masons promoted the Masonic ideology. The secret lodges of the Masons were open to members of the French army. High-ranking officers and generals were indoctrinated to the Freemasons' way of thinking. With the people, the politicians, and the military of France under Masonic control, the Masons could finally strike. On the 14th of July, 1789, a group of people stormed the Bastille, a prison in Paris. This sign of resistance against the French authorities triggered off a massive response all over France. People in villages and towns expressed their hatred for the system, symbolized by the monarchy. But it was not until 1793 that the French anger would be cooled. On the 21st of January of the same year, King Louis XVI was beheaded in front of a crowd, heralding an end to the French monarchy and paving the way for another Masonic-controlled state in Europe. With the monarchy gone, it seemed as if nothing stood between the Masons and complete control of France. However, what took place would leave the Freemasons in a serious dilemma, and what was to come next was not exactly in accordance with the Masonic plan. A young soldier by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte was about to lead France into a bloody war with Europe, and instead of dancing to the Masonic tune, Napoleon declared himself the Emperor of France. Napoleon was forced to abdicate from his throne in 1814, and was exiled to the island of Corsica. However, in 1815, Napoleon arrived in Paris again, raising a new army ready for a fresh war in Europe. The Masons had a big problem on their hands. Britain and her Masonic allies could not afford to maintain a long-term war against Napoleon without risking bankruptcy. Help came from an unlikely source. Nathan Rothschild was the head of a leading banking family, but because of their status as Jews, they were forced to work from the shadows of others. Rothschild seized the opportunity to liberate his people and offered a loan, demanding in return recognition of the Jews as equals to their European counterparts and the right to openly do business. If the Masons refused, the money could always go to Napoleon. The Masons had no choice but to accept. In 1815, British, Dutch, and Prussian soldiers landed in Waterloo, Belgium, where they met Napoleon's forces and defeated them. Napoleon was captured this time, never to return. France was finally under Masonic control. Although historians make little mention of the Masonic involvement in the Revolution, the Masons themselves have to reveal their shadowy movements during this important period in history. In 1904, Marquis de Rossambeau, a Freemason, said before a packed audience, "Freemasonry has worked in a hidden but constant manner to prepare the Revolution. We are then in complete agreement that Freemasonry was the only author of the Revolution, and the applause which I receive from the left, and to which I am little accustomed, proves, gentlemen, that you acknowledge with me that it was Masonry which made the French Revolution." When the so-called founding fathers of America landed on Plymouth Rock, Not only did they bring with them disfranchised people, they also brought the Freemasonic elements of Europe. The injustices which the fathers of America were escaping from in Europe was also to be found in the new land, in the form of a tyrannical British regime. In order to gain complete dominance of the new state, the Masons used the same methods to gain control of France. Although the British monarchy was run by the Masons, the American War of Independence was a necessary action, and the people involved in the war were expendable for the Masons to fulfill their dream. Emotions of the people were manipulated into anger, and just like France, anger turned into war. This time, however, previous mistakes would not be repeated. The near defeat the Masons faced against Napoleon and his army in Europe taught the Masons a lesson. Any forthcoming leaders of the resistance must follow the Masonic agenda. The best way to do this was to ensure the leader himself was a Mason, and the leader who took the war to the British was none other than George Washington. On the 4th of July, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was made. On the 17th of October, 1781, the British were finally defeated and surrendered the colonies to the Americans, and the world's first Masonic state was born, a nation that would represent Masonry in every way. A sign of the Masonic presence in America is plainly visible on the dollar bill, which carries a picture of George Washington, the first Freemasonic president in the world, and a picture of the Freemasonic symbol of the so-called all-seeing one eye. Historically, the control and manipulation of political opinion has been the Freemasons' main weapon in gaining control of countries and states. Once in control of the rulers and politicians of a country, laws and political structures could be changed in accordance with their agenda. However, since restricting the body does not necessarily mean restricting the mind, the Freemason recognizes that their plan for a global government hinges completely on subduing the masses to their agenda, and thus eliminating opposition to their cause. And the greatest threat to their plan, posing more danger than any army or law, is the threat of a free-thinking mind. In order to eliminate this threat and to achieve their objective, the Masons have set about the boldest plan ever devised: the complete control of every aspect of human life, your life. And the weapons they are using against you are in your very homes, entertaining you and your children, and gradually indoctrinating you without you even realizing. In today's society, people are spending more and more time engaged with modern media, television, cinema, computer games, the internet. Popular fiction and popular music are an integral part of our lives. Yet these provide a vast expanse on information which you are taking, either consciously or subconsciously, into your mind. Information on society ranging from ideals and morals and the difference between right and wrong to the way societies and economies should be structured is passed before you every single day. These media play a significant role in providing the basis for determining an individual's view of the world and everything that exists. Thus, any one group in complete control of this information placed on these media will in effect have the power to indoctrinate practically the entire populace of the world to their way of thinking, and it is this fact that the Freemasons are exploiting. The Masons are using the entertainment industry in particular to condition people to their way of thinking, either openly or subliminally. The methods they use vary, but the goal is the same: to impose their beliefs, their ideology, and their objectives on you in such a way that you begin to think of them as your own. Evidence of their presence within popular entertainment is widespread. Masonic involvement in the industry is not a new thing. Hailed as one of history's great composers, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, a Freemason himself, composed a symphony, which was an open display of Freemasonry. The symphony is based on a story taken from Egyptian mythology of Isis and Osiris. The pagan rites of ancient Egyptian mythology form, through the Kabbalah, one of the fundamental aspects of Freemasonry. It is from these same pagan origins of Egypt that the symbol of the one eye stems. The entire entertainment world is rife with evidence of the Freemasons' presence. Openly or subliminally, their agenda and beliefs and ideals are propagated from big